Plenty happening at Canterbury this morning, the base of the Japanese horses, and Morris Logue is our first guest from Racing New South Wales. Morning, Morris.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. You had the media cameras out there this morning, which we'll see on Sky through the day. Looking forward to seeing the build-up of these four to the world, World Ace, Real Impact and Toss and Stardom. How are they going, Morris?
They're going well. They've settled in quite nicely. They've been working along, trotting and cantering each morning. We haven't had a setback, so everything's going nice at this stage.
That's good. Are they starting to slowly step up their work?
No, we expect that that'll happen next Tuesday.
Okay, so next Tuesday. So what are they doing at the moment?
They come out, they've got a routine where they come out, they walk for half an hour, three quarters of an hour in the undercover arena. We open the gates to the track. They then go into the chute there, that 1,200-metre chute at Canterbury. They walk there for a further 30 minutes. Then they proceed to the main part of the track where they trot and canter. So this morning, each horse did two laps of the track. Going back a day or two ago, there were only a couple that did the two laps, so they're gradually stepping their work up.
Okay, well, that's a good sign. There's been no sort of hiccups with temperatures or anything. Morris, that's often that, you know, the travelling people have to monitor those on the first few days of arrival.
Now, the biggest issue we had was not horse-related. We had a blackout here after 2 days after they arrived, but we've got generators on site, so we overcome that pretty quickly, and we've rectified the problem as well.
All right, well, that's good. I know we're about to talk to a rep of the Horry stable, who have got, I think, three of the four here in Sydney.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. So just to your eye, Morris, you feel watching their work and their slow build-up is that everything's progressing in pretty good order.
They look sensational. You wouldn't have thought that they'd have travelled so far. They look very good in the coat. They don't look dry and dehydrated. They're dappled up. Like, they could go out tomorrow and run a very respectable race, if not winning.
Okay, well, that sounds good. All right, mate, thank you for your time. You better hand the phone over to our next guest.
I will do.
Good on you, Morris. Bye. Morris Logue there from Racing New South Wales. As I say, we've got four Japanese horses, To the World, World Ace, Real Impact and Toss and Stardom. Adam Harrigan is joining us. He's representing the Horry-owned horses. Adam, good morning to you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well indeed. I'm glad you're there this morning, mate. I reckon you would have done a few interviews, wouldn't you?
Yeah, mate, there were a few cameras down here, quite a good showing from the media, so the boys were asked a few questions, and yeah, between myself and another few helpers we've got over here, mate, we were kept pretty busy.
That's good. I should mention, Adam, I reckon you helped us out one day going back when Nashra Willer arrived in Japan and did that stint there.
That's right, mate. Yeah, I was looking after Nash when he was in Japan, and yeah, I was his manager while he was in town with us.
Okay, all right. Now, of the tell us the horses owned by the Horries that are here in that are in Sydney.
Yeah, Horry's actually the trainer for the horse.
Trainer, yep.
No problems. Horry's got one horse over here. The horse is called Real Impact.
Yep.
It's based down in Miho, which is about 70 km north of Tokyo. Is where Horry's training base is, and yeah, mate, very, very serious horse. It's a Group 1 winner in Japan. It's won the Yasuda Kinen as a 3-year-old, and it's just coming off a Group 2 win late last year in the Hanshin Cup, which it's actually won for the last 2 years. That's a Group 2 Japan, so very serious horse, mate, and looking good since arriving here.
He might be 7, but watching his racing of late last year, he's up and about, isn't he?
He is, mate. He was quite fresh this morning, and the work writer tells me that he's feeling very good, and he's ready for a step up a bit in work, and we'll probably see him do a bit more over the next few days.
What's the thought of when Real Impact could be running, Adam?
Race-wise, mate, we're looking at the George Rider.
Right.
And then on to the Doncaster's, the main race, mate, that we're here for.
All right. I know James McDonald's been booked to run the course.
Correct.
Okay. Are you keen once the horse or the quarantine, I guess, is James, would Horry like James to come out and ride the horse before the race?
We were talking about it tomorrow, mate. It's not confirmed, but we probably won't. We'll probably leave it to the track rider that we have over here. He's actually an ex-jockey himself in Japan and was a JRA jockey for a good 12 or 13 odd years, so he's in quite capable hands with the local jock, and we look forward to having James on him for the first start at the George Ryder.
Okay. And just listening to Morris, and you would have seen them all this morning, they seem to have done so well in their travels and in the week that they've been at Canterbury.
They have, mate. I mean, stepping off the plane there, I wasn't with the horse the first couple of days, but walking into quarantine yesterday, you know, you wouldn't have thought that all four horses, you know, had come off such a journey. They held condition very well on the flight. I think Real Impact only lost about 4 or 5 kilos. So really, really happy. Both trainers and stables are happy with how the horse has pulled up, and they've settled down well here. They're all eating up well and looking to step up in the work over the next few days.
You've mentioned the eating. Have you brought your own food, or are you relying on the Australian feed?
It's a bit of a combination of both, mate. There's some products that were available in Australia, which we were able to logistically get sent to us directly here. There were a couple of things that were allowed by quarantine to bring over, not so much feed, but just other kind of stable essentials. And there was also some feed, hard feed, that was brought in from overseas. So we went through all the protocol and got that sent out ahead of us, and everything was waiting here for us when we arrived.
And Adam, I know there's been a number of different Japanese owners and trainers. Has the trainer been in Sydney of late?
Yeah, both trainers were here. They came over basically with the horses, and they were here for the first few days. Ike, a trainer who has the three horses here, left yesterday, or sorry, the day before.
Yep.
And Hori trainer is probably just boarding a flight now. So they were here just to oversee things and make sure they were happy with, obviously, the facilities and how the horses travelled. And they were both happy enough to fly back to Japan and to leave it with the local crew that they've got over here. And they'll both be back at different times now throughout the campaign to see the horses before the races.
Well, Abzu, who's seen down in Melbourne during the Spring Carnival, of course, and we had Hannah's Goal here last year, we can never underestimate the Japanese horses. Their work is slow and steady, and the horses, when they turn up, are 100% fit.
Yeah, mate, as you say, they always show up, and definitely this time as well, mate, just the quality of the horses. I mean, there's a Group 1, obviously, winner in there. All the other horses have won group races in Japan. To the World is a very smart horse, mate. Ran second in the Ada Makinen late last year, and he's also ran second in the Japanese Satsukisho, which is the Guineas over there, and the other two as well, group three winners, multiple group three winners, and World Ace actually holds the mile record for a group two race, actually a track record at the Kyoto track. So extreme quality, mate. We're happy with how they travelled, and looking forward to the races.
Adam, thank you for your time. I know you're diving back to Japan, but we look forward to chatting maybe a couple of times as we lead up to see Real Impact run in the George Ryder.
No problems, mate. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, Adam. Adam Harrigan there joining us, representing the Hori stable with Real Impact, and it sounds like the Japanese horses are right on target. The George Ryder, the 1,500-metre Group 1, to be run on Tui's new Golden Slipper Day, Saturday, March 21. Well, Tony McAvoy now joins us from Melbourne. Morning to you, Tony.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew.
Tony, Alpine Eagle, we all saw that performance on Saturday. At this stage, it's likely the horse will back up?
Yeah, look, I am warming to the idea of it, Andrew. He's the horse has really brightened well. He had a light canter this morning around Flemington, and he was very stimulated by being there, and he's eaten well. And so at the moment, if the next 24 hours is the same, I think we will be paying up, yes.
And I guess you had to do it on Saturday to sort of put you in the thoughts of where you are right now. But so you've always thought about, I guess, about the 7-day backup. Do you think it'll suit him?
Look, we can only go on the way the horse is acting. I mean, it was a peak performance that he did last Saturday, Andrew. And to ask him to do that again in 7 days is a big ask. But it's sort of one of these things you've got to suck it and see, really. And I don't know how he'd be in 7 days, but I can only go on the signs of what the horse is telling me, and I know him very well. And he's eating my maximum feed, and he's really bright in himself. So, and we just got to walk across the road. He's there. He's hard and fit. He's perfectly sound. it's a bit hard to say no to.
It is. We'll wait and see what happens between now and tomorrow when that final Australian Guineas field comes out. But you've also gone away and locked away, well, one of the world's best jockeys, haven't you? Douglas White to ride if the horse does line up at Flemington.
Yeah, it's very exciting to have Douglas want to ride in. It's that's come about a bit, Andrew, because of the late decision and the late decision to run him. All the big jocks that I normally use in Melbourne were committed, and there was a few local jockeys left and very good class riders too, but just riders that I haven't had a lot of experience with. And when the opportunity came to get Douglas, I thought it was one too hard to pass up.
Did he? How did it unfold? Did you make the call, or was he keen?
No, well, I made the call. And then yes, he was very keen. He was very excited to be considered for the ride, and he got straight on the website and looked at the horse's run, and he couldn't wait to book his plane.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, well, we'll wait for something to happen, hopefully in the positive, that the Alpine Eagle is there in that Australian Guineas field this time tomorrow. I know I asked this last week, and I forgot to write it down. Affirmation, is it any chance of Saturday or not?
Look, Affirmation has been sold, Andrew.
Right.
There was an offer made from overseas interests, and the offer was accepted.
Okay. Is it Hong Kong?
It's Hong Kong, yes.
Yeah, okay. Look, I know it's probably the right money for the owners and everyone, but he was a promising horse, mate. We're going to have to watch him up there.
Yeah, look, I didn't, you know, I'm still building my stable, and the last thing I needed was to lose a horse of his class, but the offer was a substantial offer, and one that was hard to say no to.
Understand. All right. Well, that's disappointing, but positive in a way. We'll watch for Affirmation up there. Tony, we'll wait for the final field to come out tomorrow. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Andrew.
Tony McAvoy there from Melbourne. So Alpine Eagle, positive this morning in the light canter, and Douglas White has been booked to take the ride on Saturday if Alpine Eagle is there. Paul Massaro is joining us now out at Sky. Morning to you, Paul. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Andrew.
Yeah, looking forward to this on Saturday. I've got the pen poised to write what you're actually thinking with Scissor Kick and Panzer Division.
Panzer Division, he's not going to be running anywhere. He's probably had a bit of a tough run in the Hobart Bill and just come through the race a little bit stiff, and I think he's probably going to appreciate a couple of weeks between runs. But Scissor Kick, obviously pending weather and possibly pending barrier, but we'd like to head towards Sydney, certainly the preference.
Okay. Did he come through it okay as well?
Yeah, he came through the race really well. No problem for him. Panzer Division, yeah, just came through a bit stiff, had quite a hard run and felt the run.
So an extra week or two, I'm diving for the calendar. What have you got in mind?
Farlap is in, it'll be 3 weeks between runs.
Right.
That's one possibility, 1500, or other possibility might be to give him another extra week or two in between, just give him kind of a little ease up and come back and possibly, you know, target his campaign towards Brisbane.
Okay, all right, so we'll wait and see there.
Yeah,
but yeah, listening to you though, Scissor Kick's just enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm very happy with him. I think the horse is thriving. I'm expecting him to kind of peak third up. Certainly that's the way he's indicated in his work and just his demeanour. I was happy enough with his last run. You know, I don't think there's a lot between these Sydney colts.
Yep.
Virtually nothing. I think luck and running's a huge factor. And obviously in barriers play a huge factor in that. So when it's got to the top grade, this horse has been a little bit unlucky. But, you know, I just want an even run and a decent barrier so that we don't have to be used up too early in the race.
I'm not going to mention the barrier because I don't know. Sometimes I reckon we bloody moz ourselves, Paul.
Yeah, I can't seem to get it right when it counts. So,
well, you said it the other week.
Trap shut.
You said it a fortnight ago, and then you rolled up with 12 and 13.
I know. I can't win. I don't know what it is, but I certainly can't win.
No, exactly. All right, so that Scissor Kick definitely runs in the Randwick Guineas. When I say definitely, is it definite?
Not 110%, but as long as the weather's clear this week, which it looks like it will be, it's, you know, we'd be 90% heading towards Randwick.
Yep, okay. And we'll wait and see what happens to Panzer Division over the next few weeks. I know you've been away for a few days. You went to Qatar.
Yeah, we had 4 days in Qatar, which was really interesting, actually. Certainly a place on the move in terms of racing, and they're looking to develop the local scene over there. Obviously, they're pretty well invested, particularly in Europe, but certainly in other places, and, you know, I'd say substantially in Australia down the track. So really interesting to get over there and have a look at their racing scene. They've got a three-day carnival, which kind of culminates in a Group One race at the end of at last day for thoroughbreds. It's a mixed kind of carnival because there is Arab racing as well.
Right.
So on the card, you'll have you might have three Arab races and four thoroughbred races a day. So it's certainly interesting, and it's good to see all the kind of European jocks that were over there riding Arabs and things like that. So it was quite interesting to see.
Well, look, I think at this time of the year, obviously all eyes in that part of the world are on May Dam, but it sounds like the Sheikhs, and I presume the Sheikhs put this all together.
Yeah, they do. They do. And obviously our Thani family is the ruling family over there. And, you know, basically they put it, they're quite keen, obviously, to get into racing, particularly through Sheikh Shohan. So it's really interesting. I think the calibre of horses has certainly increased over there. And, I mean, just the people who are over there, Michael Stout was there, Luke Kamani, William Haggis, so plenty of trainers from Europe, as well as Todd Fletcher was over there from America, you know, the leading trainer in the States. So everyone that was there was, you know, substantial players from around the world. So certainly a place on the move.
Well, you're back in town now, and we'll be enjoying the feats of Scissor Kick, we hope, over the next little while. It's going to be an exciting build-up to the Randwick Guineas. I know the Australian Guineas is on the same day, and it's splitting up the three-year-olds, but I reckon both races are actually going to end up very strong.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Melbourne horses, I thought, were a fair way behind, but I think in the last couple of weeks, the form's really picked up down there, and you know, a few new exciting horses, so it would certainly be a very interesting race. But the Sydney race, I think, will be ultra competitive. And as I said, you know, there's a link between kind of, you know, probably four or five horses.
Yep, exactly. All right, Paul, thanks for your time. Good luck with the week.
Thanks very much.
So Paul Massara tells us that Panzer Division won't be seen for at least 3 weeks. You would feel the Farlap is the next option, so we'll wait and see what happens with that. In regard to some general news this morning, Mashani Honcho, the two-year-old for Les Ross, will definitely line up on Saturday. Work with one of Gaze on the course proper at Randwick this morning, and the reports have been quite positive there. I said at the start about Godolphin, Swayness is going to have its final gallop tomorrow morning at Osborne Park, but had a strong one on Saturday, made good improvement into the Randwick Guineas. We're looking forward to seeing Furnaces in the Colts race, the Todman and Otto Man and Caliveride lining up in the Riesling. David Hayes is now joining us from, I'd say, the Inglis Sale down in Melbourne. Morning to you, Dave.
Morning, Andrew.
Dave, how's the sale been?
I think the quality ones have been very hard to buy, so I'd say from the vendor's point of view, most would be happy.
Yeah, that's good. The average was right up, and also the clearance rate's always been very high as well, so a competitive sale. We're looking forward to seeing Criterion on Saturday. We saw him in an exhibition gallop recently at Sandown. Dave, how's he come up?
Look, his gallop was terrific, and we've taken a view to present him a bit fresh on Saturday. We want to peak him, hopefully, for the Queen Elizabeth, but I think he'll sprint well fresh. He's a classy horse. He's got a huge action and a good attitude. So, and back at his, I think he might race slightly better on the Sydney leg.
Yep.
Even though he's quite very effective in Melbourne, but I think in Sydney he's brilliant. So hopefully he'll sprint well fresh.
Did he have a long time off, Dave, after getting eventually back after quarantine from Hong Kong?
Yeah, virtually none. What he had was what I call a freshen up. He spent 3 weeks in a box and just box walking, which is very common in Hong Kong. Yep. And then he came home and I trained him, put him out in the paddock during the day and trained him, brought him in at night and gave him water walking exercise on his downtime. And we're away here and, as I said, trying to pick him for the Queen Elizabeth.
Okay, so you start Saturday and then you just maybe, what is it, a one
George Ryder?
Yeah.
George Ryder, and 3 weeks into the big one.
Into the big one. All right. So sounds like he's come back really bright and healthy. The Australian Guineas is on in Melbourne on Saturday. Petrology, is that going to be the lone one, or is there something else along the way there, Dave?
Yeah, Firehouse Rock, who presented on the weekend and stargazed when he got to the front and looked home for all money, he'll run with set of with visors,
right,
which are blinkers with little windows in. I think he, when he goes to the front, he stops.
Yep.
And you might see him coming with the visor on. And Petrology, who's been set for the race for a long time, and I think his work this week suggests he's going to run a terrific race back at Flemington.
Yeah, that's good. Getting back.
I think he's a real big track horse.
Big track, yeah. I was just going to say back to Flemington. I just spoke to Paul Massara about he'd been to Qatar for a horse festival. How was Dubai with Tashby?
Yes, I think a lot of Australians were in Qatar while I was in Dubai. Look, Tashby has settled in well there, and it was a really enjoyable trip. What a great place to have a horse in training. But he just got a bad ride. He got caught.
Didn't he? What? I'm glad you said that, Dave.
Yeah, he presented, he was set a bit of an impossible task. So long way to go to get a bad run. But he may run again this weekend on the dirt. It's a 1,900-metre dirt race, which is going to see if he handles it to run in the UAE Derby on their big night.
Right.
So the dirt race is about 300 Aussie this weekend in a small field. I'm entering him, and if he pleases in his track work in the next 24 hours, we might go.
Okay, we'll wait and see on that. That's this weekend. He was three or four wide the trip. He just had no luck. And he really was still brave, because at the 200 he loomed up still, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He loomed up and quickened like a nice horse. Yeah. He is a good horse. Yeah. But first time under lights, the doc felt that he was stargazing a bit under the lights. But everything in the race got cover except him. He was out on a limb, and he only drew barrier five, so it was a bit hard to take.
Yeah, no, understand. All right, mate, we'll let you get back to the sales there. We look forward to seeing Criterion on Saturday.
Yep, look forward to it.
Thanks, Dave. David Hayes joining us there. Criterion lining up in the Canterbury Stakes on the weekend at Randwick. It's 24-10, Racing HQ.